Our scripture today is from the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're just looking at verse 18 today. Will you stand with me as I read this morning? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter says, "But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for this time that we have this morning to look into Your Word once again. We thank You, Father, for the challenges that You give us, because we know, Father, You love us enough not to leave us in the condition in which we are, but to press for our ever-increasing goal towards spiritual maturity. We just thank You, Father, for that love and compassion for us. Father, we just pray as we look into Your Word this morning that we'll allow that process to transpire once more through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we ask this prayer. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. There was a church that needed to be painted, so they went out for estimates, and a local painter, Randy, was awarded the contract to repaint the church. Well, Randy was awarded the contract because he was the lowest bid. But you see, there's a reason Randy was the lowest bid. It's because Randy would always thin down his paint with extra thinner to make it stretch farther and thereby increase his profits. So the day that he was starting on painting of the church, out of nowhere, a rainstorm came. Now, no rain had been forecasted, but a rainstorm came, and it started to wash off all the paint that Randy had just freshly applied to the church building. Well, Randy realized that this must be some kind of action from God. This was a punishment of some sort from God that this was happening. So he fell down on his knees and he cried out, "Oh God, forgive me. What should I do?" And a mighty voice boomed from heaven and said, "Repaint and thin no more." October has been Pastor's Appreciation Month, and the first Sunday of October being Pastor's Appreciation Day. I want to let you know that I am greatly humbled by the cards and letters and emails and texts and social media posts and special wonderful brownies. Oh, it's humbling. It's a joy and a privilege to serve as your pastor, or at least it has been. I'm sure I will be summarily and immediately dismissed by the board right after this service for that joke I just told. Our focus today is on this final verse from Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And I'm thinking as I look at it and meditate on it that this could be our theme verse every week when we come to church. Truly, isn't this our goal? To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? At least, I hope it is. I hope that's your purpose when you come in. But practically in our daily lives, how do we do that? And as I was reflecting upon that, thinking about how to teach this verse, actually another passage rang to mind, and it's from the book of Ephesians. So in application of this verse, we're actually going to study some verses from the hand of Paul this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, if you will turn back with me there. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 22 through 24. Just let me read those briefly. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22, 23, and 24. Paul says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Here we kind of find a two-step program for the believer in the application of a more mature spiritual walk in our daily life. Kind of a negative followed by a positive. And so much of the instruction we find from the Apostle Paul follows that kind of formula, you know, where he says, don't do this, but do this. Stop doing this and do this instead. And this again follows that formula. There are certain things that we need to put off, the Apostle Paul says, and something we need to put on. At the start of verse 22, where he says, put off there, that you put off certain things, that could literally be translated to lay aside. When the Jewish elders stoned Stephen to death, it says that they laid down their coats at the feet of a man named Saul. Saul of Tarsus. But there in that verse, what I want you to understand about that is where it says that they laid down their coats, they laid down their outer garments, they took them off and left them there. That's exactly the same Greek terminology that's used right here, where the Apostle Paul says that we are to put off certain things. We are to get rid of them, take them off, lay them aside. In fact, there is an aspect of it which says we are to do it with a bit of disgust. That's why some of you, maybe whatever rendering you're looking at this morning, it says here that the Apostle Paul says that we are to throw off certain things. So it's not just the putting off, not just the laying aside, but it's to do it as though we are disgusted by it and don't want it anymore, to throw it away. We understand that it's not good for us and not helping us in our life, and it never has, and we're ready to leave it behind. That's the idea here. The things of the old life without Christ are the things that we are to separate ourselves from. We're to throw off that old and to put on the new. One of the main problems, though, in getting rid of the old is that it's what we're used to, right? It's what we're comfortable with. It's the thing that we've always done. And so that's why it's hard to change. This is like anything in life. We have this expression, change is hard. Why do we have that expression? Because it's self-explanatory. Change is hard. For some of us more than others. It's like an old shirt, you know? Like you have this old shirt, and it's just so comfortable, but it begins to look terrible, and it begins to wear away and have holes in it, and your wife says, you need to get rid of that thing. Why are you laughing? You need to get rid of that thing. But it's comfortable, right? That's why you like it. It's tough to change and wear a new shirt again. But there comes a point where the change has to be done, where we have to understand that we need to make a change. Like that shirt that makes us look filthy and disgusting and it's unsightly. And that's why your wife tells you, you need to get rid of it. It's the same thing with our life. I mean, how can we be a Christian and tell people we're a Christian and yet our life looks filthy, unsightly? We have to realize, there has to come a point where we realize we need to make a change. What are some of the old habits that we need to get rid of or put off or throw away or separate ourselves from with a bit of disgust? First of all, it's the old disposition, the old conduct of our daily life. Look at this verse in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Continuing, Paul says that you put off several things, and the first is concerning your former conduct. In the King James, it says your former conversation. The Greek word that's used there is anastrophe. It's used 13 times in the New Testament, and every time it's used in the King James New Testament, it's translated conversation. That you somehow it addresses your conversation, but what it's really talking about there is your conduct, your manner of life, your behavior. And it's not that it's a bad translation when you're reading it from the King James, it's just that the meaning of the word has changed over time. At the time that it was translated, and originally in 1611, conversation meant your conduct, your daily manner of life. But again, since 1611, our language has changed a bit. So the idea here is your behavior. Paul returns to the thought that he had introduced here back in verse 17 of this chapter of Ephesians in verse 4, and that is that we are to no longer walk in sin. We are to no longer to live lives that are in sin. That's not a conducive testimony for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17. He says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." It says Gentiles there because at that time when this ministry was going out, the Gentiles were darkened as far as their enlightenment toward God. It was the Jewish people who were given the oracles of God, the Word of God. And so the Gentiles were ignorant of it for the most part. So the Apostle Paul says, don't walk in ignorance any longer. The Christians are no longer to live as they did when they were unsaved. In keeping with the new life that the Christian has in Jesus Christ, then Christ should be evident in our life. It should make a difference. The lifestyle of the Christian should conform to the righteous position that we've been given in Christ. I hope you understand that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are perfect. Absolutely perfect. Oh, I'm not talking about your daily life. I'm not talking about your practice. That's where we need to work. I'm talking about your position. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God sees you through Christ absolutely perfect. Why? Because Jesus Christ already paid all the punishment for your sin. When he was hanging on that cross of Calvary in agony, dying, and his blood being shed, it was for you. It was on your behalf. It was for your sins. In fact, it's your death that he died in your place. But it takes away your sin because he was absolutely perfect and sinless. So when God sees you, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, he sees you absolutely perfect. That's our position. But the way that we act in our daily life should conform to that new position that we have. Hold your place here and turn back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul talks about that here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, about the love of God and the love of Christ and how it should have an effect on our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 14. He says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all," that is Jesus Christ, "that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Skip down to verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a new creation. Some translate it new creature. You're not the same thing as you were before. You were spiritually dead, and now you are made spiritually alive in Jesus Christ. A completely different thing. A completely different creation of God than you were that moment before you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. So then, all things should become new. Do you understand that God never tells unbelievers how to live? He doesn't. God's main concern here is for believers. First of all, his only main concern for the unbelievers is that they become saved. No point in telling an unbeliever how to live if he's not saved and not indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, if he's not in Christ to begin with. But once saved, after that, God says all things should be new. You are new, and so there should be a change in your life. The lifestyle of the Christian should conform to that. And don't get the wrong idea here. When your wife says, "You need to get rid of that old shirt," you say, "Well, this is a comfortable shirt. I'm going to keep the shirt on." So you go get another shirt out of the drawer and you put it on over top of that shirt. Now she doesn't have to look at the old shirt. That's not how it works. That's not the idea. We don't put in the new clothes over the old clothes. We're to completely get rid of the old to put on the new. And putting away the old lifestyle, we're also to put away those old desires of that old lifestyle. Looking at the passage again in verse 22, it starts with putting off. There's several things to put off. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Put off concerning the former conduct, the former behavior, and the old man. Put off the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The old man is that old Adamic nature that we're all born with. That's why it's called the Adamic nature. It's the nature that we inherited from Adam, from which we all descend, every one of us. It's that old sin nature, that rebellious nature that disobeys the voice of God, which is what happened with Adam. And because of that, then death passed on all men, the sentence of death. But at that moment, also a condition of spiritual death passed on all men. We are all born in a spiritually dead condition. That's that old nature. Notice that the connection here between our former conversation, our former conduct, and this old nature are really inseparable. It's really just another way of kind of stating the same thing. The thoughts are comparable. The two are compatible. That old way of life with that old nature that we are infected with. But God has put that old nature to death in Jesus Christ. Turn back to Romans chapter 6. I want you to see this with your own eyes. You should read it for yourself. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul there is talking about that old nature. In chapter 5, he had talked about the grace that comes upon us through Jesus Christ. So then the question is, if we continue in sin and we have grace, then should we continue in more sin so that we can get more grace? That's preposterous, isn't it? And the Apostle Paul lets it be known as well. I mean, he uses the strongest negative he could possibly use. God forbid, at the start of verse 2 there. Don't even think such a thought. It's not that way. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? What does he mean we're dead to sin? Well, you see, what happened was when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary, that old sin nature was put to death there. Put to death. That's what makes it possible for the new life that we can have when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. I want you to look at verse 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. I want you to keep that imagery for just a moment. Of that body of sin, that old sin nature being put to death, crucified on the cross of Calvary with Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul says here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What God says is that this is already an accomplished fact. It's something that's already been done. That part of our nature is dead. That part of our nature was crucified with Jesus Christ for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. But I'm still here, right? I'm still standing right here in front of you in this body of flesh that is corrupted with that sin nature. It's still very much a part of me, a part of this body. And it's going to be there until the day of my passing. Therefore, I have a responsibility in my life to make this a reality, you see. That old sin nature really is dead. That it no longer has any living influence in my life. Once we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become part of the family of God, and our relationship with Adam has been abolished. We are adopted now into the family of God. We are no longer identified as the children of Adam. Now, we are the children of God, our Heavenly Father. Think about that. Seriously. What God has done for us. Therefore, we should put away those deeds of that old lifestyle and its condition. I mean, once upon a time, that was all we knew, right? But we know better now because of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, turn back with me to Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, verse 22, he says that you put off concerning your former conduct and the old man which grows corrupt, which is corrupt, I think the King James says. That word there, corrupt, in the Greek, is actually in the present tense. In other words, it's a continuing process. We would accurately think of it in the translation today of being corrupted, of continually, constantly in the process of being corrupted, that old flesh. The lust, the desires, the longings, the cravings of the flesh, they never go away. And in fact, if you feed them, they only grow bigger. They only get worse. It's a continued corruption. Scripture teaches us that in that old nature, there is absolutely no good thing. That's what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells, what? No good thing. Nothing is any good. Since the flesh is corrupted then, and it continues to grow more corrupt, it can't be rehabilitated. It can't be reformed. Instead, as we've read, God condemns it to death. To give us a new life in Jesus Christ. Now, I told you I wanted you to hang on to that picture of that. That's because the literal Greek picture here for this word that's used, the phrasing that's used of something being corrupt, is not a pretty one. It's the vivid picture of a decaying corpse. And as a body lays out and decays, what is going to happen to it? Does something somehow reverse course and then it somehow starts to get better? No. What happens to it? It continues to decay. That's the picture here that the Apostle Paul was painting. That body of putrid death of our old nature of sin that is such a stench to God, not going to get any better. It just gets worse. The flesh and its sinful nature has been condemned to death and it's spiritually dead. It cannot bring life. It can't. All it can do is more damage. Nothing good. Continually decaying. There's nothing attractive about a decaying carcass. And it kind of invokes images of horror and disgust. So now picture that. Would you want to walk around in your daily life with a decaying carcass hanging on your back? Is that how you would want to live your life? With that kind of thing, that's the picture Paul is painting. That's really what it's like in the eyes of God. The believer who continues to live in his old ways of the flesh instead of the new life that's possible in Jesus Christ, it's like walking around with a body of death and decay strapped to you that just gets worse. There was a sign on the dry cleaners in Canada once that said, "If your clothes aren't becoming to you, they should be coming to us." That's a clever slogan, but that's not Paul's message. Because unlike dirty clothes that can be washed and made clean, this body of death of the old sin nature can't be cleaned up. We just got to get rid of it completely. You can't go out and clean that dead corpse and then strap it back on. No, it's still going to stink. It still stinks. I took a shirt to the cleaners once. I had gotten some sauce in an Italian restaurant on the shirt. And I took it to the cleaners and it came back with a note that said, "We are sorry, but this stain would not come out." That's the picture. That's the picture. The stain of the old sin nature, it's so deeply stained that it cannot be cleaned. Our old man has such a deep stain that it just has to be eradicated. We have to get rid of it. It's hopeless to try to merely clean up the flesh. God has a much better solution. Take it off. Put it aside. Get rid of it entirely. Stop walking in that way, in that manner, with that behavior and those deeds. Instead, make a change. Put on. That's a little bit of foreshadowing. We're not there yet. We're still on the putting off. But I'm sure you've already made the connection that in the putting off, there's also a putting on that has to happen. Finally, though, we have to change the direction and the way we were going by changing the way that we think. We have to change our stinking thinking. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 1, is a passage that I know you know well, probably even have it memorized. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 1, "I beseech you," or "I beg you," "I plead with you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed," how? "By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. It's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in the renewing that we find in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. It's a renewing of our mind. He says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind," Ephesians 4, 23. The human mind is brilliant. It really is. Marvelous creation of God. It can accomplish many things. But many of our problems that we experience, in our daily life is because of the way that we think. We got to change that. The only way to change that, though, is through the study of the Word of God. To give the Holy Spirit information to use to help us change the way that we view things. To help us change the way that we think. Without God, the mind just can't think properly concerning spiritual things and conduct and morality. The mind is blind to spiritual truth without the illumination of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we have to read the Word of God and study it and let it have an impact on us. Really strive to live by the principles that are laid out there. If you're paying any attention at all, you see this in our society today, that the mind is blinded to spiritual truth without the illumination of the Holy Spirit. If you're paying any attention at all, increasingly in our society, right is wrong and wrong is right. And you bigoted Christians with your moral absolutes, you're the problem. Satan always attacks the mind. There's a battle for the mind being waged out those doors every day in our society. And the social argument out there is flawed because, again, it lacks spiritual insight into the discussion. The regeneration of the Holy Spirit brings to us the mind of Christ in our own daily life. The Holy Spirit brings a new direction in the thought life of the Christian through the study of the Scriptures. The carnal mind is going to want to continue in the old direction, but we must deliberately make the choice to put off that old, to put on the new. Remember, our goal is to be like Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's what the Apostle Paul said he struggled with when he wrote to the Galatians. He said, I struggle, I travail in childbirth as a woman giving birth, trying to make sure that Christ is formed in you. I'm paraphrasing slightly. But the idea, again, is for Paul's converts to be like Christ. It's what Paul wanted. It's what he wanted for his converts. It's what God wants for all of us. To be like Jesus Christ in our daily life. Turn back to Galatians chapter 5. To grow spiritually, we have to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Galatians 5, just back a few pages from where we are here in Ephesians 4. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Here's another formula for the Apostle Paul. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How is it that we grow and mature spiritually? How is it that we throw off, put off all of those old things? Well, again, you got to read and study the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to use it in your life so that you can walk according to the Spirit. If you do that, then guess what? You're not going to be doing the other things you're not supposed to be doing. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't be walking in the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts or strives or actually wars against the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit of God, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Again, Paul expounded upon that fully in Romans chapter 7 about this constant battle that takes place in our life. But which one wins out? The flesh or the Spirit? Well, listen, folks, largely that's up to you. That's your responsibility. That's what Paul's talking about here when he says, you've got to make the determination to put these things off. And then also to put on. Look at verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. Paul says, And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put on the new man that's created in God, creating according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Just as the old man is to be put off, the new man is to be put on. The new man is that product of the new birth that we've been alluding to this morning. The old man, that's that Adamic nature. The new man that's made possible now by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ really is the life and the nature of Christ. Just as we inherited that old sin nature by natural birth from Adam, now we inherit a new nature by spiritual birth in Jesus Christ. And as we saw in Galatians, those two are directly opposed to one another. They stand in contrast to one another. We find the same thought of putting off and putting on in a couple of other passages in Scripture. Turn forward just a few pages to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, let's start reading with verse 8. Here the Apostle Paul said, "But now you yourselves are to put off all of these. Anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." Same thought as what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 10, "And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Who created the new man? God did. Saw that. In Ephesians 4:24, this new man created according to God. Turn back to Romans chapter 13. Again, the same kind of terminology from the hand of Paul when he wrote to the church in Rome. Romans chapter 13. Let's start reading with verse 12. Romans 13:12, Paul says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness." Put them off, lay them aside, throw them away. "And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, that is orderly, morally, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Who's the new man we are to put on? In reality, the essence of it is Jesus Christ. Righteousness and holiness are what marked the life of our Lord while He was among us here on this earth. He was never selfish, was never impatient, never had a need to apologize for anything He did. He was only angry when it came to matters of foolish pride or God being blasphemed in His presence or disregarded. And if you look close in those instances, you'll always see that the anger of the Lord was also accompanied with grief, a sadness for the subjects of His anger at that time. He was loving and thoughtful, no flaw whatsoever in His character. That's the new nature that is made possible for us in Jesus Christ. Because that old sinful disposition is in such a contrast to the Savior's disposition, we're to put it off, to put it away, lay it aside, get rid of it, just like an old garment. Paul says that this new nature is created after God. God is the creator of that new man. Let's look at a couple of passages quickly. Look at Galatians chapter 6. We were there a moment ago. We were in Galatians 5 a moment ago. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul here says, "For in Christ Jesus there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision that avails anything, but we are a new creation." In other words, no longer Jew and Gentile. There had been a separation in that way, but not anymore. Now it's a new creation of God. A new creation, the body of Christ, which we are a part of, and we become a new creation. We saw 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 where the Apostle Paul said, "Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, all things are made new." We are a new creature as well. And look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, you know verses 8 and 9, right? "I'm saved by all my good works." No, that's not what it says. That's the opposite of what it says. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's a new workmanship, you see. A new creation now, in Christ Jesus. But for a purpose, for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Not to bring glory to ourselves, but to do good works for God, to bring glory to Him. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. I serve God because He's already forgiven me. He knows me inside and out. He knows all my faults and failures. And yet He says, you know what, Charles, I love you anyway. That's an awesome love. He says, not only do I love you, I want you in my family. I will adopt you as one of my children. I know everything you've done, but believe in me and I'll forgive you. Trust in me and I'll save you. Accept the work of salvation offered through the shed blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. Come to work for me. I work for Him by doing what He's asked me to do. It's not a working for my salvation. It's a working in admiration and appreciation for my salvation that He's already given me, that He makes possible. It's because of that that I do what He asked me to do. And what is it that He's asked us to do? To surrender our life to Him. I remember one time a fellow told me that God had changed his want to. I heard that, didn't tell me specifically, but I heard that someone said God had changed his want to. And when he asked what he meant by that, he said, before I became saved, all I wanted to do was please myself. I was very selfish. I was self-centered. But since God has forgiven me, now what I want to do is please Him. So you see, God changed my want to. What's the sin that you struggle with in your life? Is it drugs? Alcohol? Pornography? Pride? Anger? Materialism? Selfishness? The list could go on. There's a lot of them. But whatever it is, listen to me, God knows it already. God knows. And He loves you anyway. He still wants you as His child. The actions of these verses here, I said they are deliberate and determined. That old disposition has to be put off, put away. That's our choice. We have to do that, like an old, filthy, dirty suit. But God has a new one He wants to give us. A brand new suit. It's available through Jesus Christ. A renewed mind isn't just a determination. Don't get the wrong ideas. This is not just all about self-willpower. This is not just a self-determination, but it's a determination to be fully dependent on God from this point forward. Growth isn't accomplished by trying hard. It's accomplished by fully surrendering to God. Studying His Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to use the information that we gain to change our life. Peter said we were to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is how we do it. By putting away the old things and putting on the new man, Jesus Christ, which the Apostle Paul said is a new man created in true righteousness and holiness. Remember, that's the position we already have in Jesus Christ. But we are to be in life what we already are in Christ, righteous and holy. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for this time that we've had this morning to look into Your Word. We thank You again for the challenge, because in the challenge we find Your love. Your all-consuming, overwhelming, almost incomprehensible love for us. And we thank You, Father. We just pray that we do indeed make a determination if we haven't done it already, to do it today, this moment. No time like the present to put away the old and to start living in the new. And we thank you, Father, for the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that has made this possible. If there's anyone, Father, who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, we pray that the Holy Spirit will move in their heart now to cause them to make that decision that will affect their eternal destiny, to accept the free gift of salvation offered for the punishment of sins that's already been paid for in the sacrifice and the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And we thank you, Father, for knowing that His sacrifice was fully sufficient, and the proof of that was His resurrection from the dead. Accepting the gift of salvation through Him, we thank you and praise you, Father, that we also one day will be resurrected to eternal life, to live forever with you in glory. Father, we thank you and praise you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.